much. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, as we continue the study on the some of the prophecies concerning Christ that I call kind of hidden, but they're not. But it's interesting whenever you start doing the study how that they do tie together, but how God gave them indication throughout even Psalms. It's just amazing. Some of the ones that we'll look at are just, they're significant. Some of them are hidden, not really hidden, but they're there in the sacrifices and the worship in the temple. So very, very interesting. But we're going to look at Psalm 118, verse 22. And verse 23 and 24 is part of it. The verse 22, the Bible says, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now we'll look at this and see what Jesus said concerning it and what the indications are concerning the reception of the religious Israel. I wouldn't even say all of religion, but the religious leaders, the religious people, the people who thought they knew what or for whom they were waiting, but they had no clue. And we'll see what Jesus says about that, and then even some of the apostles' statements. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for the Word of God that very clearly and plainly points to Jesus, not only as the Messiah, but the Savior. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we have the Bible that you've given us to show us and encourage us and strengthen us in our faith as we consider this time of year where it seems like the truth of who Jesus is and what this season is about is hidden from the eyes of the world. But God, I'm thankful that you give us your word to clearly indicate to us the plan that you have in place in Jesus Christ. I pray that as we look at the scriptures tonight that you would instruct us, the Holy Spirit of God would open our eyes to the truths in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, the idea here in this verse, as we'll see here in just a moment, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 21, we're going to do some, and so go over to Matthew, but we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 8 first. But the indicators from the Old Testament was always that Jesus, the Messiah, would not be received by the religious people. And it should be clear to us that still Jesus is not received by the by religion. Man-made religion and man-propagated religion is not conducive to the message that Jesus preached. It wasn't then, and it isn't now. For instance, salvation by works is not salvation through Jesus Christ alone. So you can't be saved by works. But there are many religions that promote that by your actions, by the way you treat other people. Although those are important things, they have nothing to do with salvation. And so the cornerstone is the foundational portion of our faith. It is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior. This Messiah that was coming was the cornerstone of the plan that God had for mankind, which included the Gentiles. And we'll look at that a little bit later throughout this season. But tonight we're going to look at how religion tried to stop the message in Jesus Christ and what he said. So if you look at Isaiah chapter number 8, which is just over a few pages, Isaiah chapter number 8 and then verse number 14, The Bible says, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So Isaiah 8 is speaking of the Messiah, the one who would deliver Israel, but it says before he delivered them, before he would do that work, he would be the one who would cause them to stumble. They would stumble at him, which means they would be offended, which is what the description is for a rock of offense. To offend means to put off, to make them wary of. They would not believe because they would be offended in him. They would, and it's not the same thing as when we're offended, you know, like, whoa. It was more, they were, you can kind of combine it with confusion as well as with a unwillingness to accept is what it really means, to be offended. An unwillingness to have faith in the fact that he is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is, and he was going to be that to Judah and to Israel. That's why it says to both houses, so that none of them would accept him as the Messiah or the Savior. And even ultimately, all of the people of Jerusalem. And this is telling, and you'll see why here toward the end. But all the people of Jerusalem would not believe him. So it wasn't just the religious people, but it was the secular people, which I don't, you know, if you'll remember, I know we've talked about this, and I certainly don't want to try to say something. I know something you don't. I'm sure that you remember or will remember. Not everybody in Jerusalem was a Jew. And not only that, not everybody in Jerusalem practiced Judaism the way that they did in the temple. So it's not, this is very telling that all the inhabitants of Jerusalem would have the same response to the Messiah. So it helps me, just kind of by way of application as we go along, it helps me to know that, because when Jesus said, don't be surprised that the world hates you, it hated me first. The world's always hated. And the world meaning the world system, the one that Satan is in control of, has always hated anything to do with God or Jesus Christ. People, you know, often say of churches or of people that go to church, it's a crutch. They say of preachers, they're the dumbest people in the world. They couldn't make it in other things in the world, so they had to be preachers. Because even monkeys can be preachers. I mean, these are things that people say. Why? Because it seems like if you invest your life, if you're all in this, you're a fool. Well, that's exactly what they thought of Jesus. It's exactly what they thought of Jesus, and we'll see that. So if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 21, if you're already there, and we're going to look at verse number 42. Now, this is Jesus speaking to them. He's getting closer to his crucifixion. This is him teaching in the temple, and he's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, who are the religious leaders, as well as those people that were gathered in the temple worshiping, and then also to the disciples. And so he says here in verse number 42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read the scriptures? Now, he's told them about the vineyard, and he's told them about the owner of the vineyard and them slaying the servants that came and then slaying the son because they wanted to be owners of the vineyard. And he said, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So he goes right to Psalm 118. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So he's speaking to Israel, and he says to them, because of your rejection of the cornerstone, because of your rejection of the main part of God's plan. So Has Jesus always been the main part of God's plan? Yes. Did you know the church is not the main part of God's plan? Jesus is. It just is that we get to be participants because they rejected. It doesn't mean we replaced. It means they rejected, and now we are the propagators of the message of the plan, Jesus Christ. So he's saying to them, speaking to them of prophecy, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Our job as the church is to bring forth the fruits of God's plan. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So he says, if you stumble over this and you don't receive it, then if it does not fall on you and grind you to powder, which makes you useless to the world but useful for the kingdom of God, is the idea. To grind into powder is to completely humble, to break up the hard shell around the heart, and for us to become useful to God. And the only way you do that is by calling upon the name of the Lord, admitting that you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and there's no way to get to heaven except for Him. And that's why repentance is such a big part of salvation, because the grinding of powder is you can't be anything and be part of salvation. You can't say, I'm going to heaven because... You can't even say, I'm going to heaven because I asked. You're going to heaven because of the work Jesus did. So it grinds you to power. It makes it gives us no place for pride, even in anything we do in church. We're ground to powder is the idea. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. And Jesus speaking of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So the gospel is not, it was never about religion. Religion is offended by the gospel. Now, historically, if you go now back into the history of what people like to call church history, which is, believe it or not, the church did not begin in 313 AD. The Catholic Church is not the church. It was Jesus started the church. Jesus was the one who taught the church. Then Paul was the one who was taught by him, by Jesus, to continue to teach the church, which is what we believe now in the epistles that Paul wrote is how the Gentile churches work. And so religion does not like the Bible, but the Bible promotes the cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected. And that's, we'll go there in 1 Peter chapter number 2. And Peter says in verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Speaking of Jesus, well, let's go back up to verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So there, the generation of Jews that encountered Jesus face to face, the Son of God, who came and said to them in Matthew 21, I am this cornerstone. I am the stone of stumbling. I am the rock of offense. The scriptures say it, and that's who I am. And they perceive, well, he's talking about our religion. And so they wanted to kill him. They wanted to lay hands on him. Look at Isaiah chapter number 6. So he as a person was rejected because of his, if you will, statements concerning their religious doctrine. And then in Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 9, God giving direction to Isaiah, this is in the year that King Uzziah died. In verse number 9, he says, and he said, go, and he's telling Isaiah to go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then I said, Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten in a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So he's saying, he told Isaiah, now you need to go and you need to tell them this message. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse number 1. This is a very well-known chapter and should be a familiar verse. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So this Messiah would come, but as he would preach, his very words would stop the ears and the eyes of the people. Now, in thinking about this and kind of bringing it into now, this week was reading on Monday, actually, was doing a little bit of reading. There's a new study out that the Gen Z, the Generation Z, I mean, I don't know which alphabet letter I'm in, but I have no idea, the loser, I guess. But Gen Z only now, so generation, was it X that was before Z, which it should have been Y, but who knows, I don't know. Anyway, 60% of the former generation, so it would be people who are older than 21 years old, said that they were fulfilled, their life was fulfilling. Now, anyone who's 21 and less, down into the teen years, there's only 43% say that their life is fulfilling. So this study went further. It wasn't done by a Christian, it was done by a psychologist. And the psychologist concluded, it didn't say he was a Christian, and I don't believe it. He said the number one reason why is because less than 30% of them have any affiliation with any religion at all. You know what they're doing? Stopping their ears. They see, but they see not. They hear, but they hear not. Well, now if you can take this to Jesus' day, that's exactly what they did. They saw the miracles, they heard the message, and they didn't believe it, what their eyes saw and what their ears heard. Turn to Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 13. Matthew 13 and verse number 13, and the Bible says, therefore speak I to them in parables. He's speaking to the disciples here, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, if you know what Matthew 13 is about, and this parable that he's just given is the parable of the sower and the seed. And so he's given them this parable, and he says, they see and they seeing not, they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So Jesus is saying to the disciples who had come to him and asked him, what is this about? He says, you know, don't you understand? But you should understand that I'm speaking in parables because they see, but they don't. And they hear, but they don't. And it's for one reason. Their heart is waxed gross, which means that's the word fat. It's grown so hard and so filled with everything else, there's no room for truth. The remainder of that study concluded the second reason, the second main reason, there were, I think, six, but the second main reason, and he believed that these were the two most important, was because that this generation is more involved in a false reality on different social media platforms, that they cannot stay connected to reality. They're connected to a false reality. Now, I would like to say that they're the only ones who do that, but there are a lot of people who are so connected to, they're so disconnected from truth and so connected to a false reality that their heart is waxed gross. It's so full of stuff, there's no room for truth. And that's where they were. Look at Acts chapter number 28. We'll see this also continues with the apostles, and this is Paul, speaks of Paul, Acts chapter number 28 and verse number 23. So Paul is now in Rome, and he asks the Jews there if he can speak to them. And he tells them of the reason that he's there before, going to be there before Caesar. And so they appoint him a day. The Bible says there in verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So these, here we are now removed from Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Paul has been through Asia Minor, and he's been through Europe, parts of Europe, and now he's in Rome, in Italy, and he's speaking to the Jews who have heard nothing about, they've heard about the way, they tell him that, but they've not heard anything about him or what's going on here. And when he gives them, he reasons with them from the scriptures, they can't receive it. Many of them can't receive it. Some did, but by and large, all they could do was reason with it, because that's what happens when you're involved in religion and you're not involved in truth and truly by faith. Jesus Christ cannot be explained. You can't explain how salvation works to the average person that doesn't know Christ. That's why he preached Jesus. When Jesus is preached, religion says no. It can't be that easy. Or, I've done so many bad things, you can't imagine. Well, what you can't imagine is that Jesus died for all those things. What we don't know is that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Religion says you have to work your way out. Nothing's changed. The message of Jesus is not any more received in 2023 than it was back in Paul's day in 38 AD and in Jesus's day in 33 before he died, there's nothing different back all the way to when Moses gave the law. People are trying to reason logically. How does this work? That was their problem. Religion and the Bible itself, the truth of the Bible, do not fit. It's the idea that church is not a social club. It's a place we're supposed to come to have our lives changed by the Word of God. So we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit of God begins to work in us, and the entire time that we are growing until we pass from this mortal coil, we're supposed to be growing in grace. You can't do that if your heart is waxed gross. Truth can't break in. And religion, when you try to reason it with faith, just it doesn't work. That's why so many missionaries that are in countries like India and like Nepal and those 1040 countries where they believe in so many millions of gods, and they're just going to add Jesus to the mix. That's what many of them many missionaries. Brother Thomas was telling me, and one of our other missionaries was telling me that many of the missionaries go over there and they just let them do that, and they say, well, they accepted Christ. No, it's Jesus plus nothing minus nothing. That's where religion and Jesus do not meet. It's not Jesus and works. That's why the Jews struggled. It's not my way and God's way. That's where the Pharisees struggled. It's Jesus only. That was the message that was disregarded and is still the message that is disregarded. Look to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12 and verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So Jesus, and John writing about Jesus' message there in John chapter number 12, which you can read that. It's a great message. Jesus is preaching there, and the people see him, and they hear him, but they can't hear, and he does many mighty works, and they don't see, and they can't comprehend, and they don't believe the report of who he is, who he has proven himself to be, because they are so steeped in religion. And I'm just going to stop here and say, that's a Baptist problem too. We're so steeped in religion that we don't see truth. I'm not talking about my truth or your truth. I'm talking about the truth. What does the Bible say about faith beyond salvation? What does the Bible say about growing in grace? Do you know why many won't or don't? It's not because I don't think that they don't want to. I think it's because religion blocks our hearing. When the Bible says, this is what you're supposed to do, we go, I got to reason that out. And it's, nothing's changed. So when we would say, oh no, I really believe everything that Jesus wants me to do, really? So ask yourself the question, when's the last time you heard or read something in the Bible, just maybe on your own? You don't need to be, none of us need to be told what to do. It's amazing to me, the more I read the Bible, the more I realize people don't really need a preacher, but God designed it that way because they need a preacher. I don't know. I need a preacher. You know why? Sometimes a preacher says something, I go, oh, that's right. And I could have read it 100 times. Or Sometimes it's just the way it's said that makes the difference. Jesus preached and people didn't listen. It's not religion, it's the cornerstone. That's where we must focus, is on Jesus. Now turn to Isaiah 53 again. And this is a probably more commonly known or thought of description of the Christ, of who the Messiah would be. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Turn to Zechariah chapter number 13. That's kind of toward the end of the Old Testament there, before Malachi. Zechariah chapter number 13. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. So the Messiah was going to be a suffering, despised, and rejected Messiah. There was never any glory ever coming from his first time that he was on the earth. And when I say glory, I mean where every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In that day, it was designed specifically. The design of God's plan for the cornerstone was that he would suffer and be rejected and despised. So if you look at Luke chapter number 4, and we can see here in Luke chapter number 4 that the Bible says in verse number 28, so Jesus at once again is speaking, and he's preaching, and he's talking about the work that God did in the Old Testament. He's using the scripture. He says to them, verse number 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He tells them, this day the scriptures is fulfilled in your ears, and they are angry. And verse number 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So he'll go to Capernaum, he'll be rejected there. His message is despised and rejected because it is not religion. It truly is an action that you can't take on your own. It's an investment in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he is trying to gain their attention to say, I am the person who came to bring you this truth. And they're angry because their hearts are so waxed gross. Look at Matthew chapter number 27. This is, of course, Jesus' trial. Verse number 21, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Remember when it said the inhabitants of Jerusalem? No man was ever, not all the inhabitants of Jerusalem screamed for no man in history to be crucified except Jesus. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem. All the people. That's what the Bible says. Well, Brother Ron, no. It says all the people. It says all the inhabitants. So there's the proof is, even in just a subtle statement, we see only Jesus, the cornerstone. John, and this one we'll close with, John chapter number 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse number 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You can say, well, I mean, he's Jesus. That's that. Well, the truth is, he came into his own received him not. He came to the world will not is not receiving him. The world is rejecting him. Why? Well, because the Bible said he would be rejected. When you and I go to witness, and I don't know when the last time you've witnessed or given somebody a tract. I don't know when that was. But by and large, not everybody's happy that you're witnessing to them. Now, some people, they listen and they're kind. That's true. But, you know, when you go out west or any, well, and in parts here, I mean, I've actually encountered people where I hand them a track and they actually hand it back. You know what? That's okay. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the one who was going to be rejected. This is how we know that we are not following a religion. We're following the cornerstone, the Savior. Now, if we were being rejected because we were snake handlers, we should be rejected. I am against handling snakes. So if that's what you're going to do, we're not doing that. But if we're going to be rejected because we have, music that's not rock and roll and all of that stuff, well, I mean, that's religious. But if we're going to be rejected because our message in those songs is what we're concerned about, or the message that we're proclaiming is, yeah, we want everybody to go to heaven. I mean, I'm sorry, I do. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Why? Because God doesn't. But it's not just the missionaries that we're sending. It should be those people we encounter. So if anything, you and I should be encouraged in these prophecies that we're not following some vain babbling. We're not following some contrived fairy tale. We're not following something that man invented. We are following God's plan in Jesus Christ. You could say the cornerstone who was rejected. So guess what? We're going to be rejected if we follow him. If we claim to follow the only truth, which it is the only truth, it's not going to be received well. But you need to understand, I need to understand, that these prophecies being fulfilled in Jesus Christ should assure us that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one way. There was always one plan. It never had anything to do with man. It had everything to do with Jesus Christ. He was prophesied of. He came. And this isn't all. These places where these things are mentioned aren't. There are bigger prophecies that he fulfilled, like being virgin born, that people didn't even realize then. I don't know what they thought of Mary, but That wasn't the thing that drew their attention. But now when we look back, we know, because of what the Bible says, by faith, we just believe exactly what the Bible says. Now, that's weird to religion. Religion says there's got to be more. Faith says, if there is any more, I don't know what it is because God didn't tell us, so this has got to be it. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was rejected, despised. His message was rejected. They scorned him. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They crucified him. Not because he was a good person. Not because he was trying to be a good teacher. But because he was the Savior of the world. And that's exactly what was supposed to happen. Because the Bible says also in Isaiah 53 that it pleased God that he suffered those things. The scriptures are fulfilled only in Jesus. Now, you and I can say, well, how come the Jews didn't see it? Now, we can, and they still don't. Well, how come? Why? Well, because the Bible said that their hearts were waxed gross. But here's what you and I need to recognize today. It's even worse today among people in churches that have been in church all their life. It seems like these kind of truths coming out of the Bible should at least excite us and stir us up a little bit, that we're not following something fake. Only God can do this stuff. Nobody else could make it happen. I've seen, in the time that I've been in the ministry and even been here, I've seen God do some pretty amazing things that are indescribable and unexplainable. And it would be wrong for me to say, I did that, or I made that happen, or I had a part in it. There should be no generation ever in this church that says, if it wasn't for me. Well, that was what the Jews did, and they got so clogged up with that they couldn't see or hear truth. Let's be warned, be careful, but be thrilled and excited that we're following God's plan in Jesus Christ. If you're saved in here tonight, you've accepted the one and only Savior. That's it. There's nothing else. If you're not saved, if you're depending on anything other than Jesus Christ and Him alone, you need to get that settled. And tonight's the night to do it, because there may not be a tomorrow night. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that teaches us. Thank you for the truths here, the opening of Scripture, at least the way that you've worked in my heart concerning the truths here. God, I'm so thankful that I can see that no matter come what may, no matter what the adversity is, that this is right. This is what we're supposed to be doing, is following Christ and being conformed to His image, because you've saved us, and that this is the only plan for mankind. I pray, God, that you'd burn that in our hearts, and that if there's anyone here tonight that's never accepted you, that tonight would be the night that they would do that. God, thank you for your love for us and for the truth of your word that shows us your plan in Jesus.